it, Madison.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. It is now Wednesday night again. Wednesday night inspirational Bible study hosted by myself, Diane Adams. As always, it's an honor and it's a privilege that God has given us to come together one more time to explore his word, for us to get some knowledge to hold on to that we could be strengthened. You know, we live in a world that don't love nobody. And this is a place where anything goes. But we know that God is in control. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And he just want us to realize that so we can begin to truly trust him. As always, you know, we have to give God the honor, the glory, and the praise, because God is so worthy to be praised. And they say, the word of God say he dwells in the praises of his people. I just want to let everybody know the subject that I picked tonight. It's something that's been weighing on my heart as we live, learn, and study the word of God. But our lesson tonight is coming from 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 3rd through the 5th verse. And the title of the lesson is, "The Spirit is Willing, but the Flesh is Weak." The flesh is weak. So as always, I ask if anyone would like to lead us in prayer. And you could press the 1 button on your telephone, and I'll bring you straight into the studio, and you could pray. You know, we don't know the last time that we'll be able to lift up our holy hands unto God, to sing a song unto him, to praise him for all that he's doing and done and promised to do. So we have to let every opportunity that is afforded to us, and remember, the opportunities for you to share the word of God is given by the Spirit. So, you know, you have to be in tune and in touch. And when the Spirit say move, you should want to move. But I'm asking right now, if anyone want to pray, you could press the 1 button on your phone. If not, I'm going to let Madison pray. I'm going to play a song that I think is appropriate for this lesson. And then we're going to go into our word. So as he comes, pray. Be prayerful. Pray with him. And pray for him. If anyone would like to pray, press the 1 on your phone. If not, we're going to have Madison bring us to the throne of grace. And then we're going to come back, play a song, and we're going to go into the lesson tonight. Thank you. Thank God. And be blessed.
Good evening, everybody. Let's open up with prayer. God, thank you for choosing us to do your good deed of spreading the word, and that every time we do it, it goes smoothly because you're with us and that you know what you want us to write, and we do it. And please be with the people who's listening. This might be their first time, or they always come here to learn, but please look over them just for doing the deed, because not a lot of people in this world do the deeds that you want, and these people are doing it and trying to learn and spread the word, God. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Madison. So I'm going to go ahead and play this song, and then we're going to go straight into the lesson. The record that I picked I thought was so appropriate, because we're talking about the flesh and the spirit, and we know that they are constantly in war one against the other. The flesh is always wanting the things of the flesh, and the spirit want the things of God. So this record I thought was real appropriate, and I'm going to play it now. And after that, we'll get into the lesson. And that's not the record I wanted. Let me see if I can get it.
At GCU, earn your degree online.
There we go. And the name of this record is This Means War, and it's by Charles Jenkins. So listen to what he has to say.
I joined my soul, God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. Joy in my soul, God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
And that was This Means War. You know, as we start our Christian journey, and we know once we accepted Christ as our Savior and a Holy Spirit came to live in us and the Spirit of God is leading and guiding us, we know that there is an enemy that's in there as well. And that enemy is Satan. He came but to kill, steal, and destroy. So I see we have more callers called in, and I'm going to say the title of the lesson, and then we're going to go ahead and explore the word together. We're coming from the book of 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 3rd through the 5th verse. And the title of the lesson tonight is, The Spirit is Willing, but the Flesh is Weak. And always I do a background, and since the book of Corinthians is written by Paul, and since Paul wrote so many epistles, which is the letters in the New Testament, 13 to be exact, and a possible one besides that, we always talk a lot about Paul. So I want you to know this book, Corinthians, 1st and 2nd, was written by the Apostle Paul. You know, when we think about Paul, and we think of anything, we have to realize that he started off as a Jew, and he practiced the Judaism religion because that's what they had at that time. Now, the Judaism religion, they loved God. They worshiped God. They trusted God. They believed God. And they used the law to point out the sins, and they live by the law to feel, to believe that they please God. Hallelujah. But what happened in Judaism, it was all right, it was acceptable, and it was the schoolmaster for that time. But then came Jesus. And as Jesus began to teach, preach, heal, and deliver, all things pointed that he was the Messiah that everyone was waiting for. But the Jews didn't accept him as their Savior. You see, they loved the Father, but they never accepted the Son. And that's what Paul was, and he was faithful in Judaism, and he almost was one that believed that when Christians, when he believed that the Jews wanted to leave Judaism and start believing in Jesus, he thought it was blaspheme against God. And because he thought it was blaspheme against God and it was against the law, he was the one that was given the power to go and get them and almost do what you want with them. They were beaten, some was killed, and we know that Stephen was the first, person believing in Christ to be martyred, and he was stoned. And the Bible, the Bible say Paul was there holding the coattails of the men that did it. But one day Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And it makes me always wonder and say, why, when Jesus went and selected Paul, Paul wasn't looking for Jesus. Jesus went looking for Paul, but Jesus knew everything that Paul was capable of. Jesus knew his good, his bad, and his ugly. And you see, Jesus had been bringing the message to the Jews who wouldn't accept it. And he said, okay, I'm going to open the door for everybody now. See, the Jews was chosen. And the message was for them in the beginning, and they wouldn't accept it. And Jesus say, I'm going to let everybody come in. You know, there's only two races in the world. There's Jews and there's Gentile, and a Gentile is anybody that's not a Jew. So we are all Gentiles. So God say, I'm going to open it up, and I'm going to open it up to the Gentiles, which would include everybody else other than Jews. He's saying, I need someone to push the movement. I need someone to pull it together. So as Paul was on the road to Damascus to go get the Christians that was trying to get out of harm's way, Jesus met him. And at that time, Jesus taught him. And Jesus offered salvation, and he accepted it. Now, this wasn't Jesus while he was living. This was Jesus after he had resurrected. He met Paul on the road to Damascus. Paul accepted, and he began to live for Christ. He even made the statement to live for Christ. But to die is gain. You know, we cannot receive our gift of eternity and our uncorruptible bodies until we die. So he said to die is to gain. You know, Paul's journey was so hard sometimes. He said, you know, I'd rather just leave on away from here. I'd rather just go on and die because, you know, the Bible says absent from the body and present with the Lord. Not, I won't have no more tears and I won't have no more heartaches and pain and, you know, I won't be getting beaten and just put back in prison. He said, but that's what I want. He said, but I know I'm more profitable still living here and being with you so I could teach you. I could offer you salvation and you could be saved. Paul also said, every time I do the good, go to do good, evil is always present. And people use that all the time, especially when they want to do wrong. He said every time he tried to do good, evil is always present. He didn't say he do bad, but he's letting you know that it is there. You know, some people think they have arrived and they so holy and they got it so together. If Satan ain't messing with you, then something is wrong. And if he haven't messed with you yet, you keep on living because he's on his job. And he's trying to erase everybody's salvation that he can. But the Bible say that God say once you accept him with your whole heart, and God looks at the heart, he said a devil in hell can't pluck you out of my hand. But that's some things on Paul. And as we go, I hope that when you see the different books of the Bible, the epistles, the letters that Paul read, you know something about the author who wrote it. You know, you should get like that. You know, if somebody say a saying that's out of a book, and they say it, and you know, you'll say that's Shakespeare. You have to get in your Christian walk when you hear some scriptures from a person, and it might not be right there in the Bible or listening to it. You have to, at some point, be able to say, oh, that's Paul. You know, that's how Paul write. You know John, you know how John write, the Jandras and the different things like that. That would be so good. But tonight, that background was on Paul. So we're going to go into the scriptures now, and we're coming from 2 Corinthians, as I said, 3 and 5. The flesh, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I'm now going to read 2 Corinthians 10 and 3. And it reads as follows. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. when we walk, walk means to live. So if you look at this scripture and say, though we walk in the flesh, it's saying, though we live in the flesh. And the flesh they're talking about is the body. So if we say it like that, they say, though we live in the flesh, our bodies, we do not war, which means to fight, after, which means according to the flesh, which is real standards. So if I read that verse and break it down, even though we walk, even though we live in the flesh, in this body, we do not fight after the flesh. We don't fight for worldly standards. We are human standards. See, some people is fighting for that. They have a thing came on TV the other day, and it was about the transgender people, and they have this thing about the bathrooms, and they want the people to make another bathroom, male, female, and trans, whatever. And a lot of people, some cities, they putting it on the legislature to vote on it. And then they said if this particular city, a place wouldn't do it, that how much money they was going to fine them every day until they come into compliance. You see, they fighting for things of the flesh. And they fight it hard. When gays wanted their rights to be married, they fought it. They took it and they made it a war. And they went in a battle. But look what they're fighting for. But this is the world we live in. You see, this scripture is saying, even though we live in the body, we do not fight according to world or human standards. The scripture is letting us know that there is a war going on, and the war is between our flesh and our spirit. I want to let you know tonight that as long as we live in this body, which is our flesh, the flesh will crave fleshly things, which are sin. You see, your sin only dwells in the flesh. Ain't no sin getting in your spirit. Your spirit is sealed with the Holy Ghost. So when we think of sin, we got to know that it only dwells in the flesh. So when we look at it, you could put the two together and you see the things of the flesh is the lust of the eyes, you know, the lust of the world and things like that. That's what flesh loves. And those things are sin. But we have a spirit, and it yearns for the things of God, which is spiritual. This war is actively taking place every second in our lives, and we need to know that this war is fought in the boardrooms of our mind. So you might say, well, Sister Diane, why is fought in the boardrooms of our mind? Because your mind is where you think. The Bible says, so as a man thinketh, so is he. And Satan does have power, but his power is so limited that he can only play tricks on you in your mind. You see, our mind is what directs and controls us. Our mind is even either talking us into do something, or talking us out of doing something. Your mind. You see, the way that we think can either hurt you or help you. You're thinking. How many times you done talk yourself into depression? How many times you done talk yourself out of a blessing? We cannot allow our thoughts to be governed by Satan, a man's standard, which is the world's standard, because then we will only be concerned with the desires of the flesh. If you are only walking in the flesh, then you're going to only do things and the desires of the flesh. You're going to only want to satisfy your own appetite. If we do, we will certainly lose the battle. You got to check out your mind. How many thoughts in your mind come about in a day's time about the things of God, and how many come about the things of the world, about man? You have to evaluate that, weigh that for yourself. You see, because Satan can only operate in your mind. He messes with your thoughts and tries to control your action. And when he does it, he wants to tarnish your character. Remember, Satan's powers are limited, like I said earlier, and he can only do what God allows him to do. Believe this. If Satan could do more than just playing tricks in your mind, he would. If Satan could kill us, we would be dead long time ago. Think about it. Because if Satan could have killed us while we were still wallowing in our sin, then we would belong to him. Because the Bible said you got to accept Christ while the blood is running warm in your veins. So that's a message for those who think they still have time. Satan only plants the thought and hope that you receive it and allow it to become your perception. Because if you do before you know it, it becomes your reality. You see, Satan has a way of making everything that is good look bad, and everything that is bad look good. Come on now, y'all. That's what he's doing. Look at the world. They got a lot of people voting for Donald Trump because Satan is making to them believe that it's good. In this world we live in today, anything goes, and people are accepting it more and more each day. We are the chosen people of God, and we should be transforming the world to the things of God. You know what the world, the scripture said, what's that, Romans 12:2? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, we got to renew our mind. That's why that scripture said that, because Satan is in our mind and all of the junk in our mind is there. And as we conform, we start cleaning house. We're supposed to be transforming the world, but the world is conforming us to his standards. Sometimes you go in church and you don't know if you're where you're at. You know, in the nightclubs, they have a dress code to tell you how to dress so you know, what they want to see or how they want you to represent. And yet every time you go at a church, they think they're doing something by telling you to come as you are. And if they don't tell them to come as they are, nobody never taught them how to dress to show reverence to God anyway. But they tell them, come as you are. Satan is taking this war seriously, and he's doing everything in his limited power to find the battles that he think he could win. But all the good news is we have the victory in Jesus Christ if we keep our mind stayed on him. You see, Satan is our enemy. And John 10:10 said, the thief come but to steal, kill, and to destroy. Trying to keep you from being saved. But the scripture also says that I come that ye may have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You have to say spirit or flesh. Something come to your mind. You know, and I done had people say, well, Sister Diane, I was going to go ahead and witness to them people, but I was scared it wasn't God, but it was Satan. I'm going to just give you this as a rule of thumb, but you got to know your spirit. You got to know God's voice at some point in your life. And if whatever being asked of you or whatever's in your spirit or is telling you to do, if it lines up with the word of God, then you know it's God. But I could tell you this, Satan ain't trying to send you to do nothing that's good. Nothing. You see, flesh in and of itself is not the problem. Because we need this flesh to live in this world. But we won't need it in eternity. That's why when we die, the flesh is the first thing to go. We must learn to control our mind because we will either do the things of the flesh or do the things of the spirit. And many times we try to mix the flesh with the spirit. That's what many of us do. And that's called compromising your spirit. Because you you believe in the spirit and you want to do the things of the spirit, but you take a little bit of the flesh and you have that day and you figure it's all right. No, God forbid if you start justifying it. You're trying to mix the spirit with the flesh and want it to be all right. Think about it. 2 Corinthians 10:4. It says, for the weapon of our warfare are not carnal. Carnal mean weak and worldly. Our weapons shouldn't be carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, there's a scripture in, I think it's in the book of Ephesians, when they tell you to put on a whole armor of God. That's what you put on, you know, that's what you need to be dressed daily for this war that's going on between the spirit and the flesh. You know, that thing say faith and salvation and you know, they tell you the gospel of peace, and, you know, it goes on to name all of the armor, and not only do they give a word of God for the part of the army, but they tell you that, like the helmet and the breastplate. Come on, y'all. We have to dress ourselves and clothe ourselves with the armor, which is really the word of God, because we are in battle, if you know it or not, and that's how we can win and receive abundant life here on earth. Because it's not going to be a concern when we get to eternity. You see, our weapons cannot be carnal, which means earthly, man's standard, or worldly, which means flesh, and sin dwells in the flesh. The weapons of this world are lies, lust, deception, greed, pride, thinking more of yourself than you should, using a blame game, gluttony, slothfulness, and anger, just to name a few. You see, that's what I'm talking about. Somebody try to fight the war with world standards. They be greedy to get the money, and they want to give the impression if they're a Christian or they're following God, but just doing it that way that they're so highly favored and blessed. But if you use the world standards by getting it, it's all right to have a lot. But if you did it on the back of somebody else, you did it by stealing from somebody, you did it by whatever, that's you fighting a war with world standards. You may feel that you won the battle. Come on, y'all. Like people out there doing all them crooked things, they believe they won the battle. But Satan only gives temporary or short-term satisfaction. How you think they got on TV, the American gangster, the one that didn't get away, the richest man who fell the fastest and the furthest? Come on, y'all. Last week's lesson, I think that was a week before last, talking about Solomon, who have everything, and he said it was vanity. Satan only gives temporal, or short-term satisfaction. Come on, y'all. Then he will leave you stuck out all alone to face the music by yourself. That's when you realize that you may have temporarily won the war, but you definitely lost the battle. Once you accept, believe on, and confess God and accept Jesus as your Savior, God has equipped you with mighty weapons, and they are always available for you. That's the weapons I'm telling you about in Ephesians. It's the 6th chapter and 11th verse. It starts. You see, it also talked about a stronghold. A stronghold describes a wall or fortress that has plagued our mind from the beginning of time. So strongholds are real. Once sin entered the world, strongholds became a factor. You see, a stronghold is anything that has a stronghold on you. It represents a great wall of resistance to the truth. A stronghold is a faulty thinking pattern, you know, based on lies. You know, it's based on lies. It could be something your mama taught you. It could be the way that your household thought. It even plenty, you know, families, you know, that live in prejudiced homes, they teach their children, you know, and they plenty of them use the Bible, that the Bible say obey your master and these type of things. They teach them that. But it's lies, and it became a stronghold. You see, a stronghold is a faulty thinking pattern, as I say, based on lies, deception, doubt, fear, anxiety, and loneliness. Deception is one of the primary weapons of the devil. It is the building block that creates the wall, and he builds the walls in your mind one block at a time. He starts telling you things like you'll never amount to anything, which is a lie. You know, strongholds can keep you from being God's best. You know, God say he wants you at the head, but yet you at the tail. Come on now, y'all. What's keeping you there? Why are you there? Because that's where you then took the perception that that may be your place. Strongholds. They real, y'all. You know, sometimes you think of strongholds only with people that may be going through an addiction or either, you know, have an addiction, and you know all addictions is not drugs. You know, you may, you know, have addiction of shopping that keep you from being one of God's best. We have to watch it, but it's real. And 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 say, cast down imagination and anything that exalts itself against the word of God. What'd that say? Anything that come in your mind that's not of God, immediately, as fast as you can, cast it down. And bring into captivity every thought into obedience of Christ. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible say, when you're thinking of evil or thinking about doing somebody wrong, you're thinking about telling somebody off. I done had people come and tell me, well, Sister Diane, I'm gonna lay my Christianity down now because she don't know who she's messing with. What kind of fool would you wanna be that God has made you a new creature and you using everything you have in you to pull up your old man, your old nature? That would be foolish. And then after you go tell them what you have to say, then what? You ain't changing nothing. And if they're really, really a messy person, they used to getting told, so it don't matter. They're just waiting for the next opportunity to tell somebody else something. So that's who they are, but look who they have made you become. Hallelujah. You see, a serious stronghold is our imagination. Imagination is the act or power of forming mental images of what is not actually present. Watch this one, though. Or may never be experienced. Everything you imagine don't come true. And everything you imagine ain't true. Ain't dealing with the truth. You know, we must ask God to give us the spirit of discernment to keep our thoughts focused on his truth and his knowledge. You see, God's knowledge and the word of God provides evidence that should help us to control our thoughts and imagination. And will you get it controlled 100%? Probably not, because we still live in the flesh, and flesh is doing its thing too. But if you was a person that went off on somebody 15 times a day and now you only do it 5, God only asks you to grow, baby. You know, and I'm going to use this example. The Hebrew boys, when they was about to be thrown in a fiery furnace, They use their imagination based on the evidence of God's power. See, God always gives us evidence, and the evidence, you know, they got ready to go in the furnace, and they was all right with it because they knew God. But they used their imagination to the evidence of God's power. They knew he could do anything but fail. They used their spiritual weapon of faith mixed with their imagination, and they stepped in. The king asked them how they knew that God would save them. They answered by saying they didn't know if he would save them. But one thing they knew for sure, he could save them, and that was enough. And they stepped in. You see, we must learn how to wait on God, trust God. If he said it, it will come to pass, and you can believe it. If your thoughts and imagination do not line up with the word of God, run from it. Cast it down immediately, because if you allow it to have free space in your head, it will be harder to evict because your thoughts now believe that they have squatter's rights. And I don't know about y'all. I know I have some things in me that then became a stronghold in it, and it's got squatter's rights. It believe it, and, you know, I haven't been able to achieve it, so I guess I believe it a little bit too. But I'm oppressed. And I'm not going to turn back. And I don't know when God will deliver me, but I know he could. You know, have you ever let your thoughts and imagination run wild and far that you no longer know who you are? You woke up one morning and said, how did I get here? I am doing things that I never thought I would, should. I could do. So after saying all that about the imagination, you might say, Sister Diane, well, why God gave us imagination? There's only two ways that we could see things here on this earth. It's with our physical vision, our eyes. And if we could see it, no faith is needed, because if you could see it, you don't need to have faith. And the second way is with our imagination. You see, without imagination, men would be complete, limited robots because you wouldn't think of a next move. So God would have to move you. You couldn't think of nothing because you couldn't imagine unless you see it. And so many things, especially with God, is with belief and his faith is believing what you can't see, it wouldn't have worked. So you see, with our imagination, since we can't see it, we need faith. See, imagination, if used for righteousness' sake, is a good thing. But when we allow our imagination to play tricks in our mind, it can destroy us. Without an imagination, how could we see God in our mind or read the word of God about the rapture and see Jesus in the air? Come on, y'all. Without an imagination, how could we see the pearly gates or the streets paved with gold? How could we see the Red Sea divided into two and the children of Israel walking through? Hallelujah. How could we imagine a suffering Christ and then see the resurrected body? Hallelujah. Here we see that our imagination is needed. We must control our minds and line it up with the things of God, and we are guaranteed abundant living. Don't allow your mind to play tricks on you. The Bible says cast it down. Look out for the strongholds. Satan is always in your head. He's trying to get you to accept his perception, to believe his lies. Look at the world today. The world is saying anything goes. Everybody is fighting for what they believe to be right. Satan is in the middle of it, in the middle of all the world's affairs. Satan has been playing tricks on their mind, and they have accepted his perception. And after a while, they believe it to be real, so they make it their reality. But they fail to realize it's a false reality, because if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, which is the fuel for our spirit, it is flesh, our worldly standards. Case closed. The Bible said that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, your spirit always wants the things of God. You know how you say, you know, I'm going to take care of my body better because it's a temple, and I'm not going to eat this and eat that. Well, when it's time to choose, the spirit is saying, you know, salads and low fat and no fried foods and stuff. That's the spirit. But that flesh, tell you, get a little bit, get a little Coca-Cola for those who drink Coke. Whatever, the spirit, your spirit is never guiding you the wrong way. Your spirit will never tell you anything wrong. And your spirit only have your best interest at heart. Remember, your spirit never craves for the things of the world. Your spirit ain't never trying to tell you to cheat nobody. Your spirit is not telling you to use a curse word or two. Not your spirit. The spirit never craves the things of this world, but keep its sights on only what's eternity. Because, you know, we got to remember, in this world, only what we do for Christ gonna last, and the Spirit is bringing that up to us every minute, every second of the day. But you see, your flesh, your spirit will never crave the things of the flesh, but your flesh will never crave the things of the Spirit, which is God's standard. The flesh concentrates only on the here and now. How to get rich quick. Do what you want to. Or you pay the cost to be the boss. Lies. And you got to remember, there's your spirit, thoughts, your fleshly thoughts, and your thoughts. You know, everything, something happened to somebody. Oh, the devil made me do that. You know, especially they come to church. You know, the devil tried to keep me out of church this morning. And they come to church an hour late, and they say the devil did it, but they have the victory because they made it. In some cases, it may be true, but sometimes you just somebody that's always late to everywhere you go. That's you. Stop giving Satan so much credit. Satan do have power, but it's limited. And he just smile and laugh at some of the things y'all say he did and he don't have nothing to do with. You know, when you committing some of your sins, you think that Satan prompt all of that. And then if Satan, first of all, and remember this, a thought in and of itself is not bad. He may put the thought there, but you got to do the act. The thoughts he put there don't do the physical act. He put it there, you receive it, then you do it. That's when it's sin. The thought that Satan put in your mind is not sin until it's performed. Because, you know, we want to compromise our faith, and we, that middle thing, they got the spirit, the flesh, and we in the middle, sometimes walking in faith and sometimes doing what is right, and sometimes we only do what's right when it's convenient or when it don't cost us nothing or only when somebody is looking. There is the flesh There is the flesh, the spirit, and you. And I close tonight. I want to let you know, we will never be able in and of ourselves to live in the flesh. That's why when Jesus comes back, he's going to take off this corruptible body and we'll replace it with an incorruptible body. And we will be totally free from sin. We ain't going to commit it because we're going to be free from sin, all sin. But until then, it's our job to have faith, trust, and wait on God. And know God is in total control and he's working all things out for our good in this world. Because if you could truly believe it, you could then begin to enjoy it. They have so much joyless Christians till it ain't funny. And maybe, you know, they might have had some bumps along the way. But the Bible said it's a time and a season for everything under the sun. And if God said he'll never leave us nor forsake us, you got to believe it. He said, and when he tell you, I got you. You know, when they tell us to put on the whole armor of God, which is in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, you see all of the equipment that you put on, but you notice there's nothing in the back. God say, I got you. I got your back. There ain't no back plate in the armor. Check it out. If you do it, you'll begin to enjoy it. So my thing to you guys is, with knowing that there's a war and it's between the spirit and the flesh, and the flesh is going to keep wanting what it wants and it's going to keep coming in our mind, and sometimes it may even get to be a stronghold because they say build it with one block at a time. I just encourage all of you just to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ so that you may be stronger tomorrow than maybe you are today. You see, and wake up knowing that the victory is already ours because of what Christ has done for us, is doing for us, and has promised to do for us. Don't accept Satan's lies and deception, which can only hinder your abundant living on earth. And that's my lesson for tonight. And as always, if anybody would like to make a comment, add something to it, talk about it, ask for prayer, anything, you may press the one button at this time, and I'll cut the mic on. Call a 985-774. Your mic is open.
I really enjoyed the lesson tonight, Sister Diane. It was really good. It was something I needed to hear. In strongholds, that's even in the entire family, what do you do? You just keep praying and praying, and as you can't break these strongholds, I'm assuming, and correct me if I'm wrong, you just continue praying that God is going to lift this, and until he does, maybe there's a certain reason why he's not. Maybe I have to look at the positive side because of that. Maybe I'm in this position because what can I learn from it? What can I help other people after learning what I learned from this, you know?
Right.
So I have to look at the silver lining while I'm in it, and then just keep on praying and pressing and hoping that he's going to lift it soon. Is that what I should be doing?
That's all you have to do.
God
does everything in his own time. And then, you know, most of everybody you see, you know, that was on, you know, had a stronghold of any kind for years and years and years, and then they got a breakthrough. So just like I put that example in there about the Hebrew boys, you know, they used the evidence that they knew God's power. And they knew he could do anything but fail, right?
Right.
So when they stepped in the fiery furnace, now, they were willing to die for Christ. So if they got burnt up, so be it. And the king said, come on, y'all, I like y'all. Let's reason together.
Right.
You know, how you know he going to come through? How you know he going to save you? They say, one thing we know. That he could.
Right.
And then the faith kicked in.
And that's when he said, put them in.
And he said, put them in.
Four people instead of three people.
Come on,
yes.
I finish it up. And he looked up in there and he said, didn't I put three people in there?
Right. Right.
And what else he
said?
And
then they even came out not even smelling of smoke.
How you like that? How you
know?
Like me now? And to what you said earlier, hallelujah, I want you to know just like God delivered the Hebrew boys, he do the same
he
thing God
deliver.
Has witnessed. That's right.
And then I have to think back on the things he did for me in my life that I could have never done on my own. And if I think that, and then I remember that, it makes it a little bit more easier that if he can part the Red Sea, he can take this from me, you know, or
That's
from
right.
my family.
Right.
You know, so I just have to keep thinking positive and constantly pray on it.
Right. And the Hebrew boys, you know, and just like the Red Sea, you know, you just got to keep using the evidence. This is what I was trying to say. Thank you, Holy Ghost. God has given you evidence of what he has done in your life, right?
Yes.
You
yes,
know
I
his
did.
Power. You know
yes,
your time
I
is not his time. And he does
yes.
whatever he wants. But you knew how he's been with you. And he could also be with this situation. That's
oh,
what keeps
I
us motivated.
Definitely here with me, but I mean, some you know, we live in this world. We want it done immediate, you know, and
yes.
that's just this world, you know, and it's not our time; it's his time, and he's got reasons why he's gonna lift things at his time. And then
that's
I just have to focus that I'm sitting here in this situation for a reason, and it could be a learning reason to help somebody else. It could, you know.
Of course.
It could be a number of things that I don't even know about, you know, even.
Of course.
Because he knows all we don't. So,
and
no,
then
I
again.
I really appreciate this lesson. This just really hit home to my entire family.
And then we have to realize that even though it may spend long and you wonder why and all of that is human. But you got to remember, when we say we trust God in every situation, you're saying that God knows best. It may look raggedy to us, and we might say, well, why? You know, the Bible say, those who have not, because you ask not, and you're constantly asking. So why not? Why you're not having it? But God, when we trust God, we turn it all over, the strongholds, the addictions, the setback, the depression. Come on now, y'all. We turn it all over and say he know best. Because, you see, we don't need deliverance if we could do it ourselves. Deliverance means for someone to come in and do for you what you couldn't do for yourself. Come on now.
Correct.
You see what I'm saying? So all of these things that heaven left for whatever the reason, and for whatever the season, and whenever it's going to go, we might die with it. But this is, look, watch this. We accepted Christ, and we die with this stronghold. And when Jesus comes, he's going to take off that corruptible. That stronghold will no longer have a stronghold on me. So everything you're going to receive is not on this side.
Right.
Not this here and now.
Because this here and now is just temporary.
Right.
So I want my gifts on the other side.
That's right.
You know,
that's
so thank
right.
you. Thank you. This really touched my family. It did. And so I'm going to shut up and see if anybody else wants to share. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sister McBride. If anyone else would like to say anything, I could open a mic. If not, we're going to end our study tonight. You know, it's just good. That's all I can say. You know, I trust God with my good, my bad, my ugly. I trust God going in and I trust God coming out. I believe in the whole Bible, Genesis through Revelation. I just haven't achieved it yet because this flesh still wants the things of the flesh. I try my best with the things of the spirit. And I try to get myself out of the way. Hallelujah. And that's all I can leave with you for tonight. But I want anyone, if you press the one button. If not, I'm going to do the benediction. I'm going to ask God to look down upon all of the sick and shut-ins that we have on the list. I'm going to ask God that He look at the finances of everybody that may be having problems. I'm going to ask God to just guide and protect you in the things He wants you to know. Let Him direct you into your intended purpose, because we all have one. I ask God that He allow us to keep coming together, explore the Word of God together. I ask God to open up your ears because you are only being taught that you may teach. Hallelujah. I want to ask God that if He would hold you in His unchanging hand. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask God to just be with you, guide you, and protect you. Remove the strongholds out of our lives. Teach us how to truly rebuke Satan, which is the name of Jesus. Let us take our mind and think on things that are lovely. Think on things that are good. Think on things that are pure. And think on things that are of a good report, so we could keep our mind stayed on you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Holy Ghost. Please don't let the word return void. Give each listener illumination and revelation and use your word to mature them, dear God. Give them to realize that there is a battle. There is a war. But we are told that we have the victory. But the war is right here on this earth. We got the victory for salvation. We have the victory that we're going to live in eternity forever. But we have to live right here in this world, in this life, until Jesus take us home. But Lord, you knew this world would be filled with trying times, tribulations, adversities, setbacks, strongholds. You gave us your spirit. You gave us your son. And you gave us your word. Let us rely on these things, dear God, and walk with faith and not by sight. Lord, if we could do all of these things, you would get the glory, the praise, and the honor. I'm asking all of this, dear God, not in my name, not Wednesday night Bible study, but the mighty name of Jesus, what you said, every tongue's going to bow, every knee's going to bow, and every tongue going to confess. Hallelujah. You told us in your word there's no other name besides the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And Lord, for that I say thank you. Thank you, dear God. Lord, you say one of the worst sins in the world is the sin of ingratitude. Lord, I got to thank you for where I'm at right now. And I'm going to thank you for everything that I have and you did, dear God. And I'm going to trust you for everything I need. And that's what makes me complete. Hallelujah. All these blessings and others I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and thank God. That's our lesson for tonight. And if it's the Lord's will and if the Lord say the same, we'll meet back on next week, same time, same station. So you all go out and be blessed and do the things of God. Meditate on the word of God. Share the word of God. And then you'll begin to enjoy the word of God. So I like to say good night. Have a blessed night. And I'll see you back next week if the Lord says the same. Amen and thank God. Good night.